Journey. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Knights of the Storm. I'm Angus Mustang, the host Jason Barker, and today our special guest, Miss Miriam Hinane. Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
And we normally do a verse of the week, but I actually got up late this morning and didn't prepare one, so I don't know. I don't know if you are you a religious person, Miriam?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a faithful person.
Well, okay, I should say that too, because I'm not religious. I have faith, but yeah. I don't know if you you have any favorite verse or any favorite anything. We'll just do that. Normally, we do a verse of the week, and then we kind of talk about.
Usually no, something. I don't have a verse to cite. Okay. Not on the spot.
No. I guess I'll go back to the last what we talked about because you are the bee lady, and Angus and I talked about we read a verse on being like stewards of the earth. I think it's very important that we're stewards of the earth, and a lot of what you do is kind of in that realm. So sorry, I didn't mean to hijack it, Angus. And what's your show?
No, no problem at all, sir. So I'm just going to run through the chat real quick because we just had a question come up, but. We have Harps in there. We have you and I in there. We have Deb in there. We have Little John in there. And Opossum King. And Miriam, Opossum King wants to know, how many hives have you lost this year?
I'm not currently keeping bees.
Ah, there's your answer, Opossum King.
I've kept them in the past, but not. Okay. I mean, I'm a hobby beekeeper. Wouldn't have enough hives to lose. It also depends where I'm living. I was in Los Angeles when I had a hive. There's no room to have a hive where I am in a smart city in South Beach.
Oh, a smart city, yeah.
15-minute city?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I would have never thought I'd end up here. But
Let me ask you a question. When you did keep bees, because my mom, she kept bees too. They're homesteaders out in Iowa.
Yeah.
And they just out of nowhere lost their whole hive. Died. And I personally think it's due to I think one of the local farmers probably went to like a glyphosate thing or something.
Well, it depends, right? If the bees disappeared, then it's not straight up pesticide kill. It could be an organophosphate. If you watch my movie, the whole point is that these are neonicotinoids, and so they get back into the form of pollen and honey, and then it impacts the future generations. So it's like we see with humans, like someone will get a jab and die suddenly, and they're still not making the correlation. So imagine with the bees that they're not realizing that it's these neonicotinoids that are very insidious as they become part of the plant. What did they collapse suddenly?
It happened pretty quick. I'd have to actually ask my mom, did they just disappear or did they slowly?
There's so many factors that are involved. If it was like winter, you know, if that they have that what these commercial beekeepers do, or the system that's hiding what's really going on, is like blame it on the mite. Blame it on fungus. And it's like, in fact, and they have a vaccine now for the bees. And they were developing the vaccine for the bees when I was making my film, and it was retarded then, and it's retarded now.
I actually looked into that, and we actually reported on that, the bee vaccines.
Yeah.
And bees don't have an immune system like we have, so it makes no sense. It's not going to, you know, they don't have the white blood cells and all that. And
no, but they do have an immune system.
Not like we have, though. So how can we even produce a vaccine for it? It didn't make sense to me.
They deciphered the genome. So that's actually, it's on my big to-do list to find out how they manufactured the vaccine. Like I was looking into how they're manufacturing the GMO mosquitoes with this Wolbachia strain. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at the actual experimentation on how they figured out to cross create this mosquito. it's Frankenstein. It's like, oh, you're using monkey cell to make this mosquito, and the idea is that it's not gonna be able to reproduce. But I know with Zika, the mosquito is there in close proximity to a certain bacteria, and actually they don't die out. So then you're creating, what are you creating? These mutant mosquitoes that are then biting you. So because of what happened in Mexico, I started looking into dengue. And it's like, it's the same formula. It's like step one, dump all these mosquitoes all over, because there's outbreaks not only in like Brazil, in like 11 different places have like these outbreaks. So they dump the Bill Gates GMO mosquitoes, then the dengue rates go up, then they call a state of emergency, and now they're gonna start jabbing little kids with their new dengue vaccine. It's like,
yeah, it's a plan. Playbook. And we've had it was three cities here when we reported on the mosquitoes as well, and there was three cities here in the U.S. that had already done and people Florida didn't know. Keys. Yeah. Hey, real quick, Melissa Arterburn, she's the wife of Tony Arterburn. I don't know if you know him. He does the Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show, and he's a fellow podcaster. But anyway, she was asking if 5G is involved with bees disappearing. I've actually wanted to look into that. I've heard people say that it messes with them.
So in our film, by the way, Melissa means honeybee. In our film, we look at a lot of the cell towers. Bees are there. And so, of course, everything is connected and everything's frequencies. But the 5G and their frequency is not the same. So we, in our film, didn't find any validity to the cell phone tower. However, I mean, I am personally very sensitive to 5G. I lived on a 5G test city in 2018, and I know that 5G excites. It's like it's not indisputable fungus and viruses and bacteria. So, because we're electricity and water, so if there's this agitation, and I personally feel the 5G. Yeah.
Oh, it's a fact. I was military. My first job in the military was working telecommunications. So I worked with microwave towers. And that was one of the things that we learned in school, was to be careful not to overexpose yourself to EMF of any kind, really. It just, the effects vary depending on frequency. But, you know, I actually got overexposed one time, and I couldn't stay in the little, you know, the little golf ball thing with the ground terminal antennas down there. Yeah. I was in there doing some work. Somebody had fried something electrical in there. It was the auto tracking system, and I worked on the power system, so I was in there rewiring it. And I mean, 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm bright red, and you know, eyes feel like they're bulging out of my skull. You know, and and doing our research on EMF, and I don't want to get too much into EMF because we've covered the heck out of that. The NIH had a peer-reviewed document released that talked about COVID-19 signs and symptoms overlap with 5G exposure. Yeah, totally. And very, very close. So it makes you wonder, you're talking about dropping the Gates mosquitoes so that later you get the outbreak, so later you can do the jab. If 5G was turned on and then you get a bunch of clinical diagnosis because people are getting the same signs and symptoms as COVID, and then they push the jab.
I was in Miami, I guess it was a year and a half ago, and it was exactly the days where they increased the frequencies to the point of like they literally closed down the airport. So it's not like I'm making it up. And that's when I got sick. I lost my sense of smell. And I was writing about radiation, EMF radiation. And I was like, you know, I don't have a Rona. Not that I would go get tested, but it's like I could breathe, but I had like watery stools and I was vomiting and I was nauseous. And then I was like, oh my God, it's radiated. And I was in close proximity to a freshly boosted person. And for me, when I call it spiked, when I get like a very weird, wicked headache. I don't suffer from headaches. And it's like this 4 or 5 day horrible, like magnetic almost headache.
So, and that's, there was a lot of people I knew that had that same thing during the, you know, which the COVID, which I think was the 5G rollout with, you know, loss of taste and all that. And, you know, they, oh, I have COVID. Well, that's kind of weird symptoms. I mean, it's radiation poisoning. It, you know, your new phone is broadcasting in 5G. So you're picking that up. And then your body, you know, adapts to it after a little bit, and then it goes away. And they just, well, I survived COVID. It's not what you had. It's, but I mean, so Jason, you want to bring up the link to Merriam Substack? And
yeah, real quick though. Okay, I just had to check something.
I saw that the pictures aren't showing.
I want to say also, just in response to Angus, that my understanding is, you know, I don't know if the phones are outfitted with 5G, that it's more like these towers that are emitting certain frequencies, and that they're selling the idea that you're getting 5G, but a lot of times the phone is not 5G. It's still 4G. So that it's more the towers and connecting so many of them. And that was like the number one thriving industry, where everything else was crashing, you know, this Hegelian fake crash of the economy, but that was a booming industry.
But yeah, I pointed out that when they added the 5G towers, they didn't take away, I mean, you still got the carrier wave, whether you're getting 4G or not, 4G or 5G, there's a broad spectrum of different frequencies, because some transmit further, some are for faster data if you're closer, but they're all being broadcast at once. And you might have an AT&T antenna right next to a Sprint antenna. So you're getting double whammied. Right. And then if you got two towers in your town, now you're getting four times the, and I think to me, it's the accumulation of overlapping signals.
With 5G too, with 5G phones, the phone is actually the relay. The towers don't put out as much as it was on the 4G. So they're using your phone to relay the signal. So you're getting actually more of the radiation from your phone than with the 4G. Excuse me.
Okay. What did you want me to bring up, Angus, on the screen?
Yeah, the link to Merriam Substack.
Okay, we'll start there. I guess we should actually just start by letting her talk about what she does. I don't know if everyone...
I don't know if your audience knows.
Yeah, I think so. So here you go. Go ahead, Angus.
It's a handsome Substack. But, you know, I will say, yeah, that I'm inviting people, even if they join for free, because for whatever reason, they're allowing us to express ourselves. And I am beginning to also see censorship here. And I was one of the first to, let's say, point out censorship on Telegram, because they were throttling me there. So it's very sad, but one has to ask, like, how is the Silicon Valley, this company that's out of San Francisco, allowing the useless eaters to express themselves?
Yeah, I've noticed
that question.
What's up?
So I said it's a valid question.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it's to feed AI, so AI understands more about us useless eaters. And now when people go and they ask questions of, like you were talking about this morning, Jason, with your thumbnail generator there, that's AI. So now it gets more, and it can, they'll use that, you know, in turn stuff. They're not going to give you the actual thing that you said, but they're just going to turn it to, you know, and they can manipulate what's out there.
Yeah, it's feeding the AI, and it's an election year, and some psyopy people are making shitloads of money on it. So it's, for now, it's the one place that I can actually communicate my voice and my creativity and my knowledge. You know, if you think about like getting sprayed in the airport, well, if there's like a daily 134,000 passengers, how many you think are tracking down the company in Mexico and getting a data sheet like I am and interviewing?
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about that. I think that's what Angus wanted me to bring up.
Yeah, and pull it up because you can show video. The footage.
Yeah, and I did not realize when he said you were coming on the show, I didn't realize you were the one that did this video because I seen this. I actually came across this on the internet a couple different places. Yeah, I just came across it. And then in looking all your stuff up, I was like, holy crap, you're the one that did this video. So that's pretty cool. I'll go ahead and play a little bit of it. You can kind of tell us what's going on here.
So the beginning is like PSA type footage that I found on YouTube, and it'll follow. I get that wall. Might be some HIV or some Rona on the wall. So this is supposed to give the semblance of safety. Look, everything's clean. Meanwhile, you're in a full-on effing Tyvek suit. So it turns out, okay, so they're supposed to, like, they're showing off that they're, you know, even using a micro ionizer. So that makes, for me, what comes to my mind is, well, what's the aerosol size? What's the particle? Are they aerosolizing this? So that's my footage, which I cut out the expletives because I'm going off on, like, look, nobody's reacting. Just another poison exposure. And I was subjected to 6 hours of this.
Now, can you imagine, you know, forget about the TSA and all the security and stuff like that, but just what's going on here. 20 years ago, if you had seen this, people in the airport would be like, what is going on? You know, but now we've been trained. We've been trained.
Well, dumbed down too.
Yeah. I mean, things like slowly eroding our liberties. We've just come to accept it. You know, that, you know, they have my safety in mind. You know, we really have been trained like lab rats, you know, to go, you know, to not even go through the maze. We're just going to sit in the 15 minute maze, you know, and they're going to bring me my cheese. Like,
and I watch, you know, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I think I got a little bit of a delay on my end, so I'm sorry if I interrupt.
No. The airports are, like, to me, the epitome of the Matrix, right? So I have a lot of disdain on the experience of traveling. I'm always the only one that says female pat down, don't go. When I get off the plane, I watch everybody takes the fucking escalator. I'm the only one that goes takes the stairs. I watch as they stand and, oh, whatever that is, the biometrics, I'm just going to stand in front of it. And then when I came back from Mexico and I asked the guy, well, what is that? And he's like, oh, you know, you could opt out. And he's like, you know, your idea is that this is for surveillance. And he got offended. And then his name was Pierre. He was Haitian. So I said, oh, are you Haitian? And he got off and he's like, I'm born here. I'm American. And then he gave me an orange slip to go to room 6. Well, we got a live one, folks. Also at the airport. I'm the only one. I mean, mind you, I wasn't with people from Anarcopolco because they're not sheeple people. But I was the only one, and they followed me into the bathroom. And I had this with me. So I was nebulizing, I had my silver with me, so I started breathing into that. Anyway, it's so I got them on camera. If you're in my Substack, you could listen to the call with CIFSA, which is the organization or the pesticide fumigation control company. It's a fumigation company that's also sanitation. And actually, 2 days later, got a call from this guy in Mexico, a consultant. So he's removed. And he says to me, this is on record, these are innocuous. And I said, so what's with the Tyvek suits? Under the pandemic, they brought in all of these cleaning measures, all those sanitizers that are killing, eroding our own bacteria, because we're more bacteria than human cells, but under the guise of cleanliness. So they were brought in under the Rona, and he said it's marketing. And I'm like, what? you're telling me it's optics that these, I shouldn't be concerned that they're in. He said under the pandemic, people needed to feel like something was being cleaned. Oh my God.
Yep,
and I'm like, I don't feel safe that something's being cleaned. It's very suspect. Sends me the data sheet. And these are ammonium chloride compounds that literally say may be fatal if inhaled. So I have multiple chemical sensitivities. I tell people I am like a bee. I am an environmental indicator. I'm not like everybody else. I smell things. I see things that other people don't see. I pick up, it's what's it called? Details. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I'm super sensitive, and I've had walking pneumonia. And then my nose was bleeding. I was coughing blood also. And when I complained to him, he said, you may have a dengue hemorrhagic fever. You should go to the hospital.
Don't do it. And I just wanted to point something out here, because a lot of the stuff was feel-good stuff throughout the Rona. The coronavirus scamdemic, a lot of it was just for show. The masks were for show. That tells you right there, they've admitted that they are into psychological operations. That's exactly what all this was exactly. A psychological operation. I mean, when you're saying that, oh, we just did it so people would feel better, that's a psychological operation.
Well, and the other thing they got, like I always say, they played the long game. So since 2001, you know, since 9/11, Patriot Act and all that, so I'm at the airport the other day, and I see this all the time, but it really occurred to me is how much they've got us to think that we're cattle. Now you get in the security line, and you stand in this line like you're in the chute going into the slaughterhouse. Totally. You go through the scanner, and they dehumanize you there. Oh, yeah. Sir, we have to pat you down. And then you get on the plane, and they're sitting there, and they come out with these trays, and they just start throwing snacks at people. Like they're feeding chickens or something. It's like, yeah. Can I get any more cattle-like? I mean, and people, like you said, people just accept it and go, yeah, this is the way life is now.
When I was in Okinawa, I was in Okinawa for 10 years. And when I came back, so I went there pre 9/11. So it was pre TSA, it was pre checkpoint, you know, take your shoes off, all that stuff. Yeah. Now I'm over there in the military. And then as a civilian for about a decade, I come back. And I have a laptop. I have this really cool metal laptop case. It looks like a drug money. I call my drug money case. So it's like the metal one that you pop it open and you get like $1 million. That's what it looks like. Yeah. But I had my laptop in there. However, my laptop battery didn't work. It has to be physically plugged in to turn on. So I go through TSA for like the first time ever. I had got off the plane and I had to switch planes or something. But I went out to go, you know, get something to eat or whatever. I had to go back through. So I'd go through the checkpoint. And they're like, you need to open that. I was like, okay. So I open it up. They're like, turn it on. So I reached, I grabbed the charging cable that's right there, and I reached over towards the
And they freaked outlet. Out.
They freaked me out. I mean, they almost literally tackled me because I made a sudden move. It's like, what is going on here? I'm sitting here barefooted getting tackled by TSA, by somebody that probably doesn't have a diploma. You know, it was insane, but
you couldn't get a job at Burger King.
Yeah, that's what kind of woke me up into, you know, even because I was very apolitical before all that. And then I come back here to the United States. I'm like, what the heck happened to my country? You know, why are people going along with this? They, I don't know.
No, I mean, it's incrementalism. Mm-hmm. It's the long game, and it's the boiling of the frogs slowly. And it is really, you know, when you get a live one, someone that talks back when, you know, this Rona regime, well, you know, this New World Order has been in motion for a long time, but the Rona was their Trojan horse to bring in so much bullshit.
Yeah, and so we now, got disease X now. It's going to be in perpetuity. There's always going to be an invisible enemy out there, disease X.
There always has been. Always has been an invisible enemy. And I wanna see what they're going to do with the zombie deer. I'm working on a story on prions and these chronic wasting disease with the deer.
Yeah, I'd like to find out about that.
Well, I suspect. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I wanted to go back to the airport thing. Because So you acquired some with MSDS or like safety data sheets. Tell us about what all was.
One of the Substack, I put some portions in it, and it's free. People can sign up. So if there's another one called Virex, go down. Oh, no, maybe.
Virex.
It's after the... the one on the international airport.
This one here?
No, it's after that. There should be other posts. Okay, yeah. That one on the far right, Virex Plus, the white.
Ah, there it is. I see you. I got you. Okay.
So, you know that it says straight up may be fatal. And.
Yeah, look at that.
But it's only fatal if it's inhaled. So what's the odds that people are breathing while they're spraying?
Right.
It's got to be limited.
Someone told me, oh, this is in Mexico. I'm like, no, honey. This is, they're spraying all those places in America. They're spraying this shit. Yeah, as you say, you could buy it on Amazon. What else is here if you look at...
what's this? Other ingredients? 77.76%.
How do you know there's no nano? How do you know there's no graphene? Is that? You don't tell us what it is. That's 77% that's playing with the ammonium chloride. So
yeah, that's crazy. And you know, if you could buy this,
likes
it, yes.
Wow, that's a lot for me in these dem times. Yeah, I would please ask, invite your audience to keep me alive.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can share with your audience how the level of censorship.
Real quick, let me just pause to do that real quick. If y'all go to honeycolony.com, this is the easiest way to find out where to follow Miriam. The links right here, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. You got a podcast?
I'm not really on those. Instagram, yeah, Pinterest, no, oh, for Honey Colony, yeah, that's my magazine and marketplace. Like, just to tell your audience, I'm a real journalist. I'm not a prostituto parrot. I've been around for a while, 25 years plus, and I'm 51. I am not only an investigative journalist, but a functional medicine coach and consultant. I've reversed lupus. I've learned how to walk again after getting hit by an SUV and dragged 50 feet. So I think because I speak from this nexus of truth and health and actually walk my talk and want to inspire, empower, and educate people. So I have honeycolony.com, which is a magazine and marketplace, and they've come after my company. When I say they, in 2020, the FDA launched Operation Quack Hack. That's an actual name of an operation by the FDA, FTC, DOJ, where they went after hundreds of us. They went after me for selling silver, not colloidal silver, but 4,000 ppm silver that the EPA and the NIH know damn well that it works and it could be used as a cleanser. So, in reality, you know, my talk at Anarcopoco in Mexico was titled Health Censorship in a Techno-Fascist Age and is all about how, you know, further adding to the evidence that they were paving the way in the online health space for the Rona and scrubbing people like me that offer information. And I also directed the film Vanishing of the Bees, which is why, you know, people would be like, aren't you the bee lady? Aren't you the lady? Yeah. So I just used Bee Lady because it stuck, pun intended. And I made a George Floyd documentary, and I have a book coming out, and it'll be the only place, like the most amount of truth you're going to find on this entire planet will be in that book. And I'm hoping that I'm not, you know, my life, I've been pretty concerned. Oh, where is that? On IMDb?
IMDb, yep. They got a wiki on you too.
Oh, yeah, I know. They co-opted them, my wiki. Yeah, because I used to be with the mainstream folks. I wrote for all the top magazines, Hollywood Reporter, Penthouse, Maxim, Marie Claire, and I worked for MSNBC, produced the news. then slowly after making the film and blowing the whistle on Bayer, it's when I got my first death threat.
And it's funny because, no, it's not funny, but Bear, like, now it's common knowledge, you know, how bad Bear is. It goes back to, what was it? Somebody was talking about Bear, like, back in, like the 50s or 60s or something. They
right, I.G. Farben.
And they had a bunch of people that were, I guess, pulled from concentration camps or something and sent over to be experimented on, and they all died. And then they just ordered more people. So I think that's pretty heinous. I just found out about that recently, but it's well documented. And but you know, you get purged. And also, I was watching you last night on Nature Boy's show. I don't know if you recorded it last night or if it was.
It was a week ago.
Okay, you actually had a really thriving business, making tons of money, and they took that away from you. You want to talk a little bit about that? About
sure. Yeah. I'll say to your audience that I'm banned on Venmo, Vimeo, PayPal, GoFundMe, Instacart, Amazon. I got Instacart. Debanked on Chase. I'm a racist. I got debanked on Chase. I've been persecuted by the FDA, and I've been smeared in a 6-part series, part of, you know, with others, in a 6-part series on NBC's Peacock channel called Shadowland. It's a piece of shit. But I'm the journalist in the series. Out of the 6 characters, I think I get the biggest shaft because I'm an accomplished woman. So after making Vanishing of the Bees, I kind of looked to the honeybees and created Honey Colony. And it's a magazine and marketplace. And over the years, first we were curating other people's articles. I don't know if you could bring it up, Jason.
Which one you wanted me to bring up?
Honey Colony. Oh, you brought it up earlier, yeah.
Real quick, yeah. I hate to interrupt, but Deb McCartney, she's in our chat, and she says that she tried to pull up the movie right now, and she gets an error code. So I don't know. I might want
to
check.
Where is she trying to pull it up from? Because it's on archive.org for free.
Yeah, that's where she
went. I've got my George Floyd, if I could share that link with you.
Go ahead. And,
I would love to talk about my favorite topic, George Floyd.
Yeah, drop it in the private chat and I'll pull up.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
That's something that bothers me, how if you want to speak the truth or speak, you know, anything that you should be able to speak freely, now they debank you. It's and people just accept it. It's like, how can this be?
Well, if they know, but if you guys can think, like, how am I supposed to have a living? You know, I have to ask for fucking donations. I'm 51. I have like a high EQ, a high IQ. I have 2 movies under my belt, a book coming out, a business I've built, hundreds of articles I've written. And it's disgusting. And I don't think people realize what it takes to be a real journalist, the amount of time and power. Oh, my brain's working. I'm connecting dots. I'm reading, you know, hundreds of patent studies. You know, just to finish with Honey Colony, that my site was getting 500,000 unique views a month. I was getting mad traffic. That's all from my articles. And then with the ushering in of the Rona, the preparation in the online health space, because I cover, you know, what I dub techno-fascism, looking into Google because they rolled out the medic update. So the medic update was a huge algorithmic change where we lost, for instance, 30% of our traffic literally overnight. And so any website that fell under your money, your life, anybody that dared to improve your life and make money off of that was penalized. And it was also, they were starting to rank websites like WebMD, but it was all in preparation for the Rona because they were starting to sanitize the internet, especially about your health, so they can justify their EUAs and make you think that there are no other therapeutics and do an abracadabra trick where you forget that you have something called, I tell people, what is it called? I have something called the immune system. So because I've been so vocal When the Rona hit and they launched Operation Quack Hack, I was also one of the first to sell CBD literally in the online space before everyone and their mama. And when you look at the politics of CBD in bringing Epidiolex, their fake shitty CBD, GW Pharma has a exclusive partnering agreement with Bayer. So I joke, what are the chances of having bees and bud in common with Bayer Crop Science? So I think it's like just a collection because people acknowledge that I'm extremely censored and you look at me like, oh, why is this little 5'5" brown girl censored? You know, you're not that big. Well, I have staying power. I've been around. And they must think like, oh, she's not a bee. She's a cockroach. She's still here. So in final, where I don't know if this was a hit purposeful or not, while I was making my film and, you know, when the Rona hit, like I was like, I'm not running a company anymore myself. I'm not here on this planet to run operations. And I took my eye off the ball and I had half-assed people running my company plus the censorship. And then I hired someone that came through a patriot and he moved all my content and he literally de-indexed me from Google and he zeroed out my revenue and my traffic. So I've been building that better. I joke that I'm building back better for the past year to fix the extreme damage of, you know, that's why I invite people to go to Honey Colony and they can use the coupon code BLADY. I have 15, B Lady 15. But I've also witnessed in trying to, I have an affiliate program with patriots, with people in the conservative movement. And now, you know, I'm sure you've heard of the wellness company expose that Amazing Polly did. But from my stance, it's like, are you able to swear on your show?
We already did.
No, if I already have, I'll be careful. No, you don't swear.
That's all right. It's fine.
No, I rather respect. Okay. So who are these people who have come onto the health and wellness space and claim that they care when I've been in this space for a long time? So there's a lot of people like who's who in the zoo, a lot of just compromised people in this space.
It's getting to the point in every industry now, whether it's housing, healthcare, you name it, that there can only be one authority. And the authority, if you look, like how many people have died because they've taken something that you've sold them? Probably none, right? But yet the authority person is going to be somebody who's got multiple deaths and injuries from their products. But that's the person that we have to be told is the authority. I don't know. It blows my mind. And then when you track it down to find out, you know, everyone complains about, oh, the rich need to pay their fair share and the rich this and the rich that. These are the rich people. It's the club that you're not in. So you can't even get into the space anymore because they shut you down. Information is a big one. You know, we show documentation. We go look up white papers and we highlight it. We put them on screen. Look, this is what they say. This is what Pfizer says.
Yeah.
And boom. Banned from YouTube for life for quoting, and that's paperwork that they wanted to hide for 75 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, no, don't need to say sorry.
It fires me up.
We're having a conversation.
Yeah. They take all the bottom rungs off the ladder. And now, with the censorship, they've learned with people like Steven Crowder and Alex Jones and maybe John Campbell to a certain extent that when people get large enough when it comes to putting down information, it's really hard to make them go away. So what they're doing now is they're censoring in real time or they co-opt them. But then you folks like us, they just cut you off at the ankles before you're too big to say, you know.
And that's what I agree with that is that once these people get big enough, and I'm not going to mention names, but then they can co-opt them. And that's what these people are trying to do. I'm going to get big enough to where people are going to pay me money to say what I want.
If they allow you to get big enough, if you're compromised, if you can be compromised and controlled, I can't be compromised and controlled.
They want nothing to do with you, but certain people that they know will sell their souls. That's the ones that they want.
I know, because some of them are my colleagues that they get inducted. And I think it's important to educate people on Tavistock and understand this is the lie factory, understand the incrementalism over hundreds of years with an acceleration of the transhumanist agenda. That's why we're seeing, but this has been in motion. And because they infiltrate all parts, then people are co-opted. When something gets too big, then it turns and they become the faces of truth when they're not giving you 100% truth and nothing but the truth. They're just giving you 80% truth, hence a redacted, hence a Russell Brand, hence an Alex Jones. And so they do say good things. They say 80% truth, folks, but it's the omissions. And it's like, again, being detail oriented, because that is where the devil lies. There's no question about it. And unfortunately, we live in an age of mediocrity where people aren't paying attention to details. And as a journalist, you know, you have to be covering the story from the get-go. If I were assigned to do a story, let's say on George Floyd today, I wouldn't find at least a quarter of the stuff that I found, because it disappeared in real time. And I was reporting on this in real time. And I saw the documents disappear. A lot of documents.
That's why the AI is so important. Because, you know, once something's on the internet, it's really, really hard to get rid of it. And they're doing AI in real time. I had, you know, when we got kicked off, it was in real time, which means that something was sitting there figuring out what we were talking about. And it's gone beyond listening for keywords now. It's actually gone into graphical recognition.
Wow, really?
My buddy Tiger.
Words? Can it 2 weeks, words?
I think it looks at pictures. I don't know how smart it is. But my buddy Tiger, he runs his a couple of different shows. And he puts up images of war and stuff in his intro, and it had kids with guns, you know, because in other countries they get kids with guns. Boom, he got pulled off 2 weeks in a row. One was like 15 seconds in.
How does he know they told him?
They actually said it was for threatening children, and it was during the intro when there's nothing being discussed in the intro. So they've gone beyond the keyword stuff. It's really, really, the censorship is it's getting really, really bad.
So, on the Substack, that's like the post on graphene oxide. I decided to change the spelling of graphene oxide because that's what they killed me on Twitter for, making the link between graphene and Charles Lieber. And I hadn't even made not in that tweet when I got killed. So, and then seeing that some of my Substacks are now, you know, if someone else shares it, but I've seen also like people will have me on their show, big shows, and you don't put my links. You put me behind a paywall. Like, what is that? Wow. What is that? That's happened to me many times. Or they interview me. They don't run the interview.
Wow. So I'm kind of curious about this graphene oxide, because we've covered graphene oxide. How it forms graphene sheets, and they roll up into nanotubes, and then they actually become like almost like a receiver. So I don't know. We never really made a hard connection between that and 5G to see if, you know, I don't think 5G is going to mentally control us and make us walk around like robots or something like that. But I could see it damaging the body, like absorbing more of the EMF. What did you find out about graphene oxide?
Yeah, let's pull up one of them.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
Articles. I was going to listen. It's all, we're living in a live exercise. We're the lab rats, and the exercise is how much graphene oxide and what is it doing? So if you look at, okay, we can play the video.
Yeah, sure.
Is this part one? I have, may you roll down?
That's this part is part two. Okay,
yeah, part one has a
cyborg on it. Go down a little more.
Right here. Here it is.
Yep.
Okay, now if I get, I don't know what's up with StreamYard, but if it starts echoing, just let me know and I'll mute myself, okay?
Okay.
It was 10 years ago, just after the government instituted the whole isolation policy. We began hearing reports of a mass epidemic, some unknown disease sweeping the country. The details were vague at first. Nothing on the cause or transmission of the disease. Only that it was highly contagious, and in most cases, fatal. Before the general public even had time to react, the government declared a state of emergency and ordered a mandatory vaccination program. For our protection, they said. As it turns out, that was the beginning of our nightmare. The disease was a complete government fabrication, and the supposed vaccine they were injecting into everyone, in reality, it was a cyber virus developed by DIAWA.
DARPA.
The virus has a mutating effect on the cells of the body. It alters their molecular structure and converts them into biometal, essentially turning us into machines from the inside out. There's no way to stop it. And to make things worse, the cyber virus was still early in its experimental phase.
What do you mean?
DIAWA didn't even know if it would work. It had never been tested on a large scale. So they turned Japan into their own private laboratory.
When it does work, the virus gradually progresses through the body until it finally reaches the brain. At that point, we become perfect androids under DIAWA's control. The speed of the process differs from person to person. Those of us who have yet to be fully assimilated, as best we can, we hold on to those fragments of our humanity that still remain. But even now, we can feel them slipping further and further away.
So that's when I was looking into graphene, I think 2 years, I found 2 years ago, I found that. But, oh, can you go back, Jason? Just want to go down the article and talk about some things. But that's set in 2077, but that was made in 2007. It's a Japanese anime. And so I say in my piece, you know, the Overton window is moving where, you know, at first we were really blasted for saying that there could be graphene. But if you look at the conductivity and Tesla furaces and the component and all of the tests of the studies, like here, look, they studied 14 people and they made them inhale graphene for 2 hours. And, oh, no, I'm safe. But this is not true. There's so many studies that, oh, it looks like in little writing, oh, me, little chance of blood clots. No biggie. Well,
that's how they get away with saying that there's no adverse effects, is they only look at for something specific, you know. So let's just say I come up with a new pharmaceutical and I say, well, I want to make sure it's not going to cause blood clotting. Okay. Oh, there was no blood clotting. But what if it's causing heart failure? What if it's causing something else? They only look at particular things and they say it's safe because it didn't cause that one particular thing we're looking for. Where doing my EMF research, I found that out, that the only thing that they were really concerned with, number one, they want to make sure that certain frequencies don't interfere with other frequencies. That's what they're kind of more worried about. But when it comes to health effects, all they were looking at was, did it raise the temperature of cells? And there was two things. I forget what the other one was, but they didn't care. They knew about all the other effects, but they said, oh, it's safe because it doesn't cause these two things that we're only concerned with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when it does, they just say, well, it's rare. You know, that doesn't happen to a lot of people. It's very rare.
But it, 9,000 adverse reactions.
Right? Yeah. Right. But, you know, the other thing is, too, they don't look at the dosage. They just assume, at least what I have seen with our last vaccine, is one dose fits all.
Exactly. Yeah.
How is that possible?
Retarded thing. Yeah. It all doesn't really make sense. And when you look at these experiments and what they do and their gain of function, it is really like sorcery. And I say in my piece, you know, I did another piece on the horseshoe crab and the millions of crabs that they kill for the blue blood. And they say that they're using the crab to make sure that they're safe vaccines, because in the close proximity of this copper-rich blood, any contaminant, bacteria, endotoxin will clot. I think that they put it in there as part of the concoction to make blood clot. I don't think they're really killing all these horseshoe crabs for our benefit. When you think of all the, you know, so anyway, so in regards to graphene, there's only one instance so far that we know of in the documents. But my second piece, like I outlined, maybe, I don't know, 15 at least different studies and papers looking at graphene oxide. You know, they're definitely looking to see how this impacts us.
Well, and that goes back to what you said at the beginning of the show, Jason. They wanted to hide the information for 75 years. Mm-hmm. If it was something that was good and there was nothing bad, wouldn't you want people to know that right away? Not
well.
You can't see this for 75 years.
Isn't that what they say about us? You know, illegal search and seizures and monitoring your, you know, what is it? Monitoring what you do, what you say. Oh, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to hide, right?
Right.
Well, then apply that the other way around. Apply that to Big Pharma when they don't release their documentation. Yep. If you're not doing anything wrong, you got nothing to hide. So,
well, it's such a big mafioso gang of everybody like just doing their job because people want to save their own ass, and either they're indoctrinated or they're complacent. And, you know, we had a silent, blatant culling. And those of us who were trying to warn people, and I left for Costa Rica because I knew this was coming. I was saying medical martial law way before the Rona was even here.
Yeah,
that was coming because they mass vaccinated 200,000 people in 30 days in Samoa and literally went door to door, and they passed the law called the Law of Love. And the Law of Love says that the government has jurisdiction over your child.
Wow. Did you know Ron DeSantis actually signed this in? There's a bill that passed. And if you read down in it, that very, very backside of that bill, it allows for mandatory vaccination, forced vaccination.
Yep. I've known that for a long time.
Yeah.
That's been here for a long time because I've been covering vaccine dangers since 2012. And I also had a friend that was given a form to sign, and she was the only one that coming off the plane that read the paper, and she's refused. But yeah, I mean, also, did you know that there was an executive order that Trump signed on September 19th, 2019 to bring up for a pandemic? What's it called?
Yeah. I don't know what it is offhand, but somebody did point that out to me. Was it you, Angus, that pointed that out, or it might have been Handy?
No, it wasn't. Might have been Handy, maybe.
Yeah, Handy usually, he follows all that medical stuff. He's an EMS worker that I actually know him from way a long time ago, and then we found each other on the internet again. But he gives us a lot of good information on what's happening down in Georgia with, you know, his observations as an EMS worker. Pretty. Say again.
Well, he signed the executive order in 2019.
And we supposedly didn't know about coronavirus until, what, early 2020 is when we started seeing cases?
So they signed even the instituting a task force that would involve BARDA even. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many ways to show this was a pandemic.
Okay, real quick, couple comments. Harps actually mentioned that 2006, that was there. DeSantis is just the one who signed it in. That was part of the model legislation that was pushed out. I'm sure every state probably has something similar. And then Deb asked, can you ask her if she knows of Zena Sinker and her graphene connections? I don't know who that is. Let me put it on the screen here. Trying to.
Zena, like X-E-N-A?
Yeah, I'm going to put it on here.
Z-I-N-A and C-I-N-K-E-R.
No.
I'm looking it up right now. Oh.
Yeah, no, we didn't get real deep into the graphene oxide stuff. We did look at it, though, and it's kind of crazy when the structure it makes when it rolls up into a nanotube.
So hexagonal, one atom.
Yeah.
One atom thick
It's crazy. It's nanotech. It really is nanotech. What is they plan on using it for? You can only speculate, I guess. But they're self-assembling, you know.
My article shows how they're trying to make everything artificial, artificial hearing, artificial sight, all using these sensors, these biosensors, all with graphene oxide.
Yeah.
I don't know. Will you be able to put my link for the Substack if people want to subscribe?
I can add it to the I'll add it to the thing. Actually, what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, let me show you this. I forgot.
Like my Facebook is, that's nice to put the Facebook, but I
barely. So let me show you what we got here on our website. So this is my website and all the people that we like to talk to and stuff and enjoy their work.
That's awesome.
Put them up here. Yeah. I can add you down here if you want, and I can put all the links to all your different stuff.
I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time we interview someone and they're just totally awesome, we just add them. So
nice to see you, Charlie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You went to Anarchapulco. Tell us about that. Cause Tony Arterburn, who I was asking if you knew, he was down there. He was a speaker down there.
What's it? Can you bring up my Substack again? I'll show you the one I did on Mexico. Who was his name?
Tony Arterburn. He's got a beard like me, like a long beard. Let's see, where are we at? Substack.
I don't know that
Well, it was multiple days, wasn't it? So maybe.
Yeah, I still have to watch the replay. I've just been so sick from the poisoning. I've had 14 days of. I haven't been this sick like since 2016. I didn't get the Rona. If you scroll down, I'll show you. It says Anarchapulco. In there it is.
Which one?
So, yeah.
Right there. Oh, right here. Okay.
I had an amazing, amazing time. It's my second year. I really, you know, to be around non-sheeple people and learn and be outside in the heat and hang out at Max Egan's bar at the end of the night. And I had an amazing, amazing time. So there's, I offer a link to the replay because there was amazing, you know, different talks. Andy Kaufman, Alex Zek, obviously Jeff Berwick, Max Egan, Marjorie Wildcraft. And so if you play the video. I'm a dancer and I waited all years. I had torn my meniscus and I had stem cells. I tore my meniscus really badly.
Okay.
And it's been healing. So I was concerned. I tore it dancing in an epic dance move. So I'm.
Did the other person get served? Did you serve them?
I jumped. I had a jump and I landed and tore my meniscus.
So
it was a great time, and I really invite people to come next year.
Did you hang out with Charlie Robinson at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was
emceeing. Cool. Yeah, definitely hung out with Charlie and with David Avocado Wolf and his posse, because they don't drink, and I certainly don't drink alcohol. So hang out with them. Yeah, it was awesome.
So I think that we covered everything. I think I had another question for you.
Well, talk about just George Floyd and
let's cover that, because we kind of like started going there. So I got this here.
So that's my documentary, and people could check out the trailer. And it came out a year before the fall of Minneapolis, and in fact, the fall of Minneapolis. Made their film in response to my movie, because the first 10 minutes is like watching my movie. And you know, not to take away from the fall of Minneapolis, but I basically purchased all the footage from the government, like a badass journalist does. And when you think I raised $1 million to make Vanishing of the Bees, and it's been 2 years and I'm still trying to raise $15,000. Because of all the censorship, while all these, you know, these compromised people give them money, and they're grifters.
Let me ask you this real quick. When it comes to the money stuff, so you PayPal and all these other payment methods have kind of banned you. So what are you doing for as far as
Zelle and Cash App? You know, okay. I welcome any donation or going to my Substack, going to Honey Colony and getting something in return. Unfortunately, yeah, Honey Colony, because someone, you know, I'm repopulating all my amazing traffic. So it's been, he caused like $200,000 in damage. Piece of shit. Excuse me.
You're good.
Do you think that that was accidental or he was somebody inserted in there to do that, so to speak? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do actually. I think they're like, oh, this. I'm also $500,000 in debt to the government through an SBA loan. Oh, that too. So, you know, I'm a beautiful woman and journalist, and I'd like to stay alive. And having to say, hey, can you like kick $5 for Substack? Like, to be my age and my accomplishments and to be on food stamps is pretty fucking gross. But it's the truth. It's not all like right. I'm a victim. It's they've really come after my livelihood. So,
And with you being an actual journalist, I find it, I don't mean this offensive or anything, but that you actually work for MSNBC. I mean, with your views, how did that work working for them?
Well, I was in my 20s.
I know, but I mean, so
I'm a completely different person.
I know, but MSNBC to me doesn't seem like the kind of people that welcome any, you know,
I wasn't
opposing views to what they.
I was graduated from journalism and looking for a job and completely naive. I mean, I've been on a spiritual journey since I was 13, but the way I grew up in Canada, being taught the news, so. I had no idea, and I ended up quitting after my share of drive-by shooting coverage and chopper coverage. So, yeah, I had no idea. I wasn't at all the person. I didn't have tattoos. I didn't have a shaved head. I was in my 20s, my late 20s.
I can relate to that being military, because knowing what I know now, I might not go in the military, you know. At first, I joined because I thought I was doing the right thing. And then you spend 20 years in there and you get out and you start covering politics. You're like, holy crap, I was part of the problem.
Was in Hollywood. I was on sets. I was at some point selling vapid gossip to In Touch and People magazine. Yeah. I mean, I came from Montreal, Canada. And I've worked really hard. I've been working since the age of 13. Nothing's been handed down to me. By the way, I'm brown. So, and a woman coming from a different country. So to work, you know, to be like, oh, you built $1 million company. That's a million. That's, and you know, I was just about to get into, it doesn't mean I made $1 million. My company made $1 million.
Right.
So to be like, oh, get attacked by CBD and then get attacked by the, different algorithmic changes, then get attacked by Operation Quack Hack, and then have someone like, exactly, how are you a digital seasoned marketer? And I tell you, don't move my magazine because that's where all my SEO, my empire is, and you move it. Are you that dumb or are you malevolent? So,
yeah, right.
Malevolent. Hey,
real quick, while I'm, it's in my brain because I don't want to forget. Yeah. I think because I'm, want to go back to the how people can get you money with all that, you know, being canceled across all these different payment methods that was what people use. I think a lot of people have Cash App. What's your Cash App if they wanted to shoot you a tip?
That
right
would
now?
Be lovely. Thank you. I'll put it there.
Okay.
So,
and then Zelle, I know Zelle, I finally set my bank up to do Zelle. It's actually super, stupid easy to do. And the money's like almost instant and there's no fee. So
that's true. There is no fee. Yeah. Dave. I'm still on that. You know, for I was assigned to do a detox protocol as a functional medicine person for commission in 2021 against vaccine injuries. And I put it on. I put it on Smashwords, which is the equivalent of, it's like an Amazon, right? So that's my Zelle. I put the guide, and then I was looking to go get a link, and I couldn't find it. And then I searched my name, and I have like four other ebooks, and I couldn't find my name. So Smashwords not only deleted my book, all my other ebooks, and digitally assassinated me from their website, like I don't exist, you know, and then said that I was causing injury, while my detox guide is to help injured people. So that kind of stuff, you know, when you're targeted, you know, people think it's like I'm being exaggerating and stuff. And again, it's like you don't have to be a big person. You have to be influential and authentic. Because guess what, folks? You can't fake authenticity.
That's right.
Yep.
That is.
And right. So people crave authenticity, like real people. Unfortunately, maybe they're fooled by some of these, you know, these influencers who are not being 100% or authentic because they're trained actors.
Yeah, and I understand that sometimes people could be fooled, but I think a lot of these people have malicious intent, you know, or
how mindless people have become. On my flight back yesterday, there was a woman behind me talking to this girl that she doesn't like to watch the news anymore because she's upset with what's going on in this world. And she was talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, how that provides her that comfort. It's like, do you not see the distraction that they're doing to you? And I just wanted to turn around and smack this woman. I'm like, wake up. I mean, what you just said is exactly what they want. I can't watch this anymore. I'm just going to take my brain and set it on top of the counter
and watch it. They put us in a position through training, first with the school system, our horrible school system. Then taking away the nuclear family. Now you got to have two jobs or two people working at the bare minimum. There's just so many problems going on in the world that we're tired.
A digital hamster wheel.
Yes.
And you're super, super busy. They're downgrading the quality of life. There's so much suffering. If you really are tapped in, I'm an empath. And I'm tapped into what's really happening with these vaccine injuries. There's so much death, needless death that's occurring. People are not making the connections. It's like when I look at all my colleagues in Canada growing up, and they have no idea. It's like, oh, I buried my brother. Yeah, but was he jabbed? Like, what's like all of them going gray? They look way older than me. Mm-hmm. And It's really a calamity because it's all about, for me, know thyself and be the best person, be the best version of yourself and honor your body temple. And people are just the quality of food. It's a travesty, folks. And we have to really be grateful of what we have and not take anything for granted. Like I was sick and they're like, go to the hospital. Oh, the killing fields? No, thanks.
Yeah, right.
No, thank you.
You know, the food, and I'm actually, that's something I'm working on right now. I'm getting ready to do indoor gardening.
Beautiful.
Because I don't want the crap from the sky coming down and the stuff in the groundwater coming down and poisoning my food. So I'm going to grow it indoors in a controlled environment. And it seems to me like right now, as I'm looking into all this and I'm looking at other people who do organic farming and things like that, they're really under attack right now. For some reason, they do not want us to eat our own food. They want us to eat their food, their factory made meat, their mRNA grown in cabbage and stuff. I mean, look at who's buying up the farmland, right? And they're trying to push, Yep. And then people like Amos Miller out on the East Coast selling whole milk and, you know, organic butter and all that stuff. They keep taking him to court. At one point, they wouldn't even let his own family eat his own food. He had to get permission from the court to eat his own food.
Well, you know, that ties into the deer, you know, because if you consider, this prion disease, these misfolded proteins, which is what mad cow disease is misfolded, which we in the medical freedom or covering these jabs, or like it's going to take 3 to 4 years. It takes a while to pronounce the memory loss, the Alzheimer's. So if they're using the deer to say whether it's true or not that there's going to be a zoonotic jump, don't eat the deer meat. When I found out that deer hunting, which includes elk and moose, is a $60 billion industry. Wow. Don't eat that meat, folks, because you might get prions. Who wants to take a risk? You know, the one misfolded protein can create a cascade. It's completely fatal. So now there's prion disease in 32 states, and I predict that when we get to 33, they will let us know. And as I was doing my research, I'm like, wait a second. In that movie, Leave the World Behind, all the ominous deer that are about to railroad Julia Roberts. What's with that predictive programming? So watch out, folks, what they're going to do with the deer.
You know what? Real quick, talking about deer, because deer ticks. I don't know what it's called right off the top of my head, but that disease you can get from a deer tick.
Lyme disease.
Well, there's another one you can get where you're intolerant to red meat.
Oh, like
seven or eight.
Yeah.
I personally think that was engineered.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Because they don't want us eating red meat. You got to buy their meat that's factory grown, you know, made with eternal cell linings. You know, it's basically, I don't even know what they call it. It's fake meat.
Here's another one. How about if you have dogs, they have the heartworm disease,
mm-hmm.
which comes from mosquitoes. I always question the vet. Well, how come the dog can get it? Cats don't, people don't. Was that something that they were, you know, a gain of function that it only got that far?
Well, who knows?
Because I just don't believe it. And then the pills they want you to give your dog are poison. It's arsenic. So you want me to give that to my dog every month? I never did it. And it's like the whole thing is how much of a buildup is for how long has this been going on? For decades.
Exactly. There's chemical body burden, the amount of chemicals. And then when I bring attention and the response is, well, everything gives you cancer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had just moved here and I got a knock. It was like, it's like the bee lady's worst nightmare. Like a person with a canister, I'm here to like spray for roaches. No. And where else are you spraying that? Oh, in common areas. I called them and I told them I've had cancer before. If you start spraying outside, you know, and then there'll be the response also I've heard. We're spraying chrysanthemums. It's natural. No, you dummy. They've synthesized chrysanthemums and they're using, you're falling for the marketing. They're telling you this is from flowers. So let's say in Costa Rica, I would wake up and there'd be like a thin carcass of bugs every day. So I'm like, Did they treat the clay tiles? And if it's killing an insect overnight, well, what's it doing to you over 6 months? You know, you have to think. But the people don't think that way, and we're being assaulted with these chemicals that are really it's to whittle down the immune system. That's why people get sick at the airports. If you're being exposed to that shit for 6 hours, there's no ventilation.
I mean, the people spraying it are wearing respirators. That tells you something.
Yep.
You know, and it's like I was stupid as a kid. I grew up in Southern Illinois, and they used to spray that. I don't know what it was that they spray off the back of these trucks.
Deep.
Yeah.
They'd have these foggers, and you know, if we were in town watching like a softball game or something, my mom played softball, and we hear that, and we go running right behind it.
Really?
Yeah,
it wasn't the ice cream truck, Jason.
But we didn't know, you know, and you know, I know better now, but you know, that's the mentality that people have with all these chemicals around them. They don't want to know. They don't want to educate themselves. It's intellectual laziness.
When I have multiple chemical sensitivities, so I react. And I smell it. I smell things that average people don't pick up. It sucks to be this sensitive. Like I say, I'm a warrior in a bubble. I'm like bubble girl. You know, so of course I would get sick at the airport. I mean, mind you, I talked to others. They got like a sinus infection, or and in regards to like, you know, the trucks, they also was walking down the street and they were going every couple of nights and with dengue, and they're blaming it on El Nino and climate change.
Yeah. Yep. Everything's climate
change. Everything's climate change. Everything's. Yeah. I just want to say one more thing about, you know, my George Floyd book that's coming
out. Yeah, let's put it back up. Yeah.
Just to say that if people want to support, I'm all about cross-pollinating, meaning like an exchange, that they can get something in exchange. I have ebooks on my website, like How I Reverse an Autoimmune Condition. I have one on longevity. I have one, the Detox Guide. And that's MiriamHinnane.com. I don't think you have that up.
Oh, I don't.
It's my personal site.
Okay.
Or they can join the Substack free or not. But there's like a lot of things that value. It's Mariam. If you put instead of the Facebook, yeah. I'm not on Facebook. MariamHinnane.com.
HENNEIN. I had that up and I did not. I must have closed it by accident.
Thank you.
And now I post this episode in my podcast too, so I'll also be putting the description. The links in the description.
Is it
so.
Pulling up? Yeah.
There we go. So, yeah, I got a little bit of slow internet today.
So under, if you scroll up under, on the left it says, yeah. There, I also do consults with people. People want to know how I'm 51 and what I do. I think if you just go to premium content, I have to change that. It's not the best.
You have a podcast? Do you still do?
I do. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. I have every Friday. I have a podcast called Truth Lives Here. Okay. And cool.
And that's how I initially started to watch you was on there, because I've used some of your a little bit of your video clips for my show. That's and nice. Gave you 100% credit for it. So
thank you. If you click on books,
come on, there we go.
All right, so those are my different books, and then I think if you go down the George Floyd book, which is coming out in the summer. So that's the Tavistock book. That's $5,000 on Amazon that you could get for, you know, dollars at my store just for a donation. So that's the book. Then we could click on the George Floyd book.
Okay, the George Floyd book. We actually have on our website a read section too. I can add these books to that for like.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. I have an affiliate program on Honey Colony because I'm all about cross-pollinating.
We just to promote. We just like to promote.
Thank you.
People we like. So,
thank you. Yeah, imagine like Stu Peters, like I gave you like never before seen footage yet on George Floyd, and then you put me behind the firewall and you make money off paywall, and you make money off of me without. It's like, what, how shitty is that?
That's pretty disgusting.
So yeah. the book is coming out. It's going to be 600 pages. It's quite a tome, everything regarding George Floyd, and it's full of FOIA and images, and it's really goes with, you know, the movie was really for the book. I wanted to see what happened, so that's why I bought the footage and put it in chronological order to show people what happens from, you know, 7:30 to 9:30. But yeah.
Just to be clear, this is, you actually got factual data and pieced it together. It's not like an opinion piece or something, right? It's
God, it's full of receipts and it'll blow your mind. Things that no one on this planet knows about.
Hush. Yeah. Well, there was so much hype around that people kind of made their own narratives and nobody really knows what happened.
I know. You know? I know. Yeah. And, there's chapters about Maya Santa Maria, El Nuevo, Sinaloa Cartel, Cup Foods, the cover-up I found at Cup Foods that no one on this planet has talked about, including in the fall of Minneapolis, because they're all about keeping it in the dialectic. So, oopsie, look, Miriam made this movie. Like I'm some chick off the street. Like, I had a number one movie in this country. So when the conservatives started embracing the fall of Minneapolis, knowing I made a movie like the Epoch Times, but don't bring attention to my movie, is it because I have a shaved head? Is it because I swear? Is it because I have tattoos? Because I'm not, I've made an award-winning movie in this country. I don't know how many people could say that, that they had a number one Netflix. So when I started seeing people that I considered colleagues, because I wrote a viral story for the Epoch Times and they never hired me after that, because I am a wild card. And did you know the Epoch Times is the fourth biggest publication? So they're also part of the controlled opposition and they give a lot of great information. Don't get me wrong, but it's called safe dangerous when you come out with information after the fact. And again, all of these publications, outlets, people, they do good work. They're charismatic. That's the whole point. But people on the inside, you know, like the debacle, you know, Amazing Polly did the expose on the wellness company. Someone who's been in this health wellness space before all these, oh, conservatives, now you're selling supplements, but you're putting magnesium stearate in your supplements. So you just want to make money. You don't give a crap about the people. I would never put magnesium stearate in anything that I sell. So it's really sad. And it's like, oh, you find out the wellness company is also vigilante, also unjected. And then when you join unjected and you think you're like, oh, I'm joining a dating site. Oh, you want to sit down with a doctor? You want all my data? Wow, isn't this a brilliant way to mine people for the unvaccinated? Yeah. Abort. No thanks. I see through you. And Peter McCullough, I see through you too. But oh God, you're shit talking about other people.
What is safe to report things after the fact?
Yeah, Sam Tripoli calls it safe dangerous.
Yeah, safe dangerous. That is what, so we, myself, Angus Mustang, my friend Angry Tiger, he's the one that started this show with me over a year ago. We were canceled from everything, and now they're reporting it. You know, people like Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, the mainstream guys, they got pushed into the alt media, and I think that's to get market share and take it over. Totally. But yeah, then
it's definitely
they're allowed to report on it now that it's common knowledge, but yet I don't get any vindication. I don't get my accounts restored. It was proven that I was right. And then the people who were wrong, like your CNNs and your Fox Newses, they didn't get kicked off YouTube. And what they were reporting now has come out to be misinformation. So why are they still there if they can't give you the truth?
Totally. I mean,
yeah,
I have a degree in journalism. I'm not even allowed on Twitter to have subscriptions while Tim Pool gets $6,000 checks issued to him. When that's my living, that's my vocation, is to share information. So they have me as on Twitter as a media personality instead of an investigative reporter, an award-winning filmmaker. Like, yeah, I have a Wikipedia page, and they co-opted that, and they said that I'm a QAnon member. I've never been part of Q. I would tell you, I'm not ashamed of who I am. So
it's character assassination, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I had a media professor. I was living in St. Augustine and I was looking for interns, because it's come to that to get the help that I need, because I lose money on my show every week. And this guy, we had a good conversation, and he's like, are you defending these cops? Yeah, the brown girl is defending the cops. You have to go and lay in your safe space, white man, like because of your fragile white guilt or whatever. So then it's like, oh, I can't associate with you. And then went on my Wikipedia. This is a media teacher that actually has told his students that Wikipedia is not to be trusted. Instead of like, oh, look, I have an award-winning journalist. Let's bring her in class and talk to the students. No, you're going to say, I'm reneging all my help to you. Because in this wokeism culture, it's, you know, being called like a white supremacist. I'm a brown white supremacist, just like Larry Elder is a white supremacist.
Well, I've heard of one actor who talked out against, you know, the Floyd riots and all that, and he African American, and they said he was just a black or white man wearing a black skin suit. I mean, so anybody, nobody's allowed to speak out about anything.
And that's ridiculous to me. It's kind of like Biden saying, you know, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah.
That you're actually, that's so insulting to say, because you're a certain color, you must think this way. That is so degrading.
It's racist.
You know, yeah. It is racist.
And why they're telling you that you're the racist for not voting for them. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's very frustrating.
The George Floyd, like, I joined DocuLink when I was making Vanishing of the Bees. It's supposed to be a closed, like, listserv for documentarians. And I was looking for an editor before I found Sean Hibbler. And they were having conversations about voting me off of the island because I was a racist. And I bet you it was a white person that initiated that. It's like, meanwhile, I'm the brown person here, but I'm the racist. It's like so full of shit and divisive, right? And the thing is, George Floyd, it had nothing to do with race. Keith Ellison went on 60 Minutes at the end and gave a big FU to the world by saying that it had nothing to do with race. And in truth, the latest saga with Derek Chauvin getting shanked 22 times, when Miriam tracked down John Tursack, the informant's old lawyer, and read a 100-page court document and read his agreement with the FBI, nobody interviewed me. The people who interviewed me then sat on the interview when I had more information than anyone else, and I was reporting it on my Substack in great detail with images about who John Tursack is. So the Supreme Court rejected the case, Derek Chauvin's case. 2 weeks later, the fall of Minneapolis is, that's suddenly seen by millions of people. And then 2 weeks after that, there's the shanking, where Keith Ellison is telling the world, even the parents, supposedly, of Derek Chauvin, that he got shanked. Keith Ellison. Anyway, so that in itself, to me, it's like the FBI blew its own cover on their operation, because saying that John Tursack shanked Derek as a symbolic gesture on Black Friday is full of BS, because he's a Mexican mafioso and he's shanked Black people. And they don't, to do a gesture for another race is a bunch of garbage. It's like a bad script.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to have to start getting ready to, get ready to wrap this up here. Okay. My grandson's birthday party is today, so I hear them
happy
in
birthday.
The background.
Yes. Happy birthday, JJ.
Three years old for little JJ.
Thank you for having me on and letting me speak.
No, before we go. Yeah, before we go, though, we got a few minutes. Tell us what you got planned next. Like, how are you going to crawl out of this pit that they've thrown you in with censorship and character assassination and all that? What are your plans?
Well, I'm in the process of selling my company, which will free me, because I need to be behind the scenes. I literally can't own a company because they've capped my ability to be successful. I have my book coming out. Hopefully when I get my life back and I'm not doing day-to-day operations and managing a big platform like Honey Colony, then I'll probably work on my second book, which is a coming-of-age tale, which I started. And I would love to nurture my Substack and be able to be the journalist that I am. I don't know how to get out of the censorship. I'm on a shit list. I don't know. I think shows like this, anybody that gives me a voice, it's really through cross-pollinating, and the people make a difference. And I like to say that in her six-week lifespan, a honeybee will only produce a quarter of a teaspoon of honey. So next time you look at a jar of honey, consider that every single drop counts. Even a share, even like join, it all helps. It's power to the people.
All right. Well, hey, everybody out there watching, either live now or after the fact, please, the Cash App and the Zelle are on the screen. Please consider donating, leave a tip. great information. So
thank you guys. Thank you for sharing my information to support me. And that's, again, if you want to get something in return, you can get a book, an ebook on MiriamHaneen.com. You can join the Substack. You can watch the movie. You can get the book. Or you can go to Honey Colony and use BLady15. There's lots of ways to get something back, and I aim to provide value. Thank you.
All right. All right. Any final thoughts for you, Angus?
I really appreciate Miriam coming on. I love the passion that you put into your work and everything. And
thank you.
I hope it gets better. And you're more than welcome to come on my little podcast. It's pre-recorded. And
yeah,
you come on and talk, and I'll put it out there. No problem.
Thank you.
My own State of the Union address tomorrow on my podcast. So, Jason, you're more than welcome to join me, and some other people that are usually joined. Miss Carpenter, who just joined our chat. I really see what this is. What we're going through is the worst. And I always say everybody holds a little bit of a different piece of the puzzle. And I think it's all starting to come together. And you're a big piece of the puzzle. Courtney Turner, who we had on recently, she has a lot of pieces of the puzzle. There's been a couple of people I interviewed recently, and and from different realms. Chris Matthew from Forbidden Knowledge News, we've talked to him several times.
Yeah.
And there's more pieces of that puzzle, and you just start to put it all together. Man, there's more to this going on than what we think there is, or what, as I like to call them, sheeple think there is. And we need to open people's eyes to what's happening out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have to be grateful for what we're allowed to say. The Ministry of Truth is alive.
I do want to do one plug real quick. We're actually going out live to freeworld.fm right now. That may be where we all have to go live at some point if they keep kicking us off these platforms. But Free World is independently owned internet radio station. Billy Ray Valentine, which I don't think he went out to Anarchapulco, did he?
He did. Charlie but did.
He does America Unplugged with Tony Arterburn and Don Jeffries. But anyway, they have this station up, and so we're going on there. And if you want to get on there, get with me. I can put you in touch with the right folks.
We both have connections to Billy Ray, and we can easily get you on there.
Yeah, if you want a place to transmit your message, it's still kind of new. It's not got a whole lot of people that tune in, but it's starting to grow. They're building it up. So
they're looking to fill more slots during. Mm-hmm. I am such,
okay, so. Yeah, definitely we'll follow up.
Yeah,
I'll send you a link here after the show. So,
okay, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and play us out and just hang out for a second, Miriam.
Thank you,
and thank everybody for coming out to the chat. You guys have great conversations going on in there. A lot of compliments for Miriam, and over on Free World, Melissa Arterburn was there. We had a couple people in on. Can't tell if they're on Facebook or Twitter. I get the comments from both in the comment thing, but and we didn't get kicked off Facebook, so I got kicked off real time at one. I'm surprised. So, all right, so take care, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.